Obviously, this is going to be a series of lessons. I'm not going to give you all the points at one time. Last week, I just gave the introduction by reading all the verses, and the keys on the phrase where Jesus himself said, "I came that." So I know there's other reasons that are listed in the Bible or in the Gospels, in the letters to the churches, but just that single phrase, "I came that." So that there's the phrases. And again, there's two songs in our book that ask that same question. Why did Jesus come to earth? So we try to answer that question from Jesus himself. Put in your notes, Jesus answers it from both a negative and positive point of view. Sometimes he'll say, "I came not to do something," and then he'll say, "I came that," positive side. So here are some reasons why Jesus came to earth from himself saying that. In Matthew 5, verse 17, I have the complete verse in my notes when I read it. So it said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." Now there's two phrases there. Till heaven and earth pass away, till all is fulfilled. Which is it? That's typically the question. But when the Old Testament was fulfilled, the last days began until heaven and earth will pass away. I'll give you some more information on this verse. You see, the Jewish nation, as you know, long held the law of Moses in utmost respect and honor. So any change to that status of the law would not be received favorably. So Jesus, very early in his ministry, begins to spell out for them his relationship to the law. So in this verse, that you have what he said. And I just want to point out one other thing. Right after this verse in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus continues this thought. And he says it six times. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, but I say to you," I'm not going to read the whole situation, it's just the phrases. Verse 27, "You have heard that it was said to those of old." Verse 28, "But I say to you." Verse 31, "Furthermore, it has been said." Verse 32, "But I say to you." The fourth time, still in chapter 5, right after this text, verse in our notes. Verse 33, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old." Verse 34, "But I say to you." Verse 38, "You have heard that it was said." Verse 39, "But I tell you." And he gives the opposite of what he's going to talk about. Verse 43, "You have heard that it was said, but I say to you." So Jesus is addressing these Jews right at the start of his ministry. This is right after his temptation. So at the very beginning, he points out his relationship to the old law. "You've heard that it was said, but I say to you." Now the words "destroy" and "fulfill" are placed in contrast. Destroy and fulfill. The word "destroy," W. E. Vine says, to throw down or overthrow or dissolve. So Jesus did not come to do that. He did not come to oppose, I put these in your notes, or ignore or repudiate or overthrow the law. I came to destroy, I came to fulfill it. Meaning, I came to accomplish it. I came to complete it. To have it expired. It had a due date. And I came to finish it. So I give you some examples in your notes about this same word, fulfill. I hope it makes it easy to understand. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, says, she will bring forth a son. You're familiar with Mary and the birth of Jesus. "You bring forth a son. You call his name Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled. It wasn't destroyed. We still have it, don't we? We still have the prophecy in our midst. The old law was written for our example now. It was for our education and other reasons. So this verse is now fulfilled. Not destroyed. It's fulfilled. And which was, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, bear a son, call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Mary fulfilled the prophecy. It's not in effect anymore. It can't be applied to anybody else. Well, she fulfilled it. Another place in Luke chapter 6, a rather lengthy reading because I have it all written down. But in Luke chapter 4, verse 6, beginning of verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Old law. Stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Fulfilled. In Luke 24, just before Jesus ascended back to the Father, then he said to them, These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Fulfilled. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul writes, Having wiped out, I mean with the death of Christ, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements or ordinances that was against us, contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. It was fulfilled. Another definition. It's been, the old law has been wiped out or taken out of the way. Not destroyed. Fulfilled. Expired. Then he adds that phrase, and I'll add some more to this, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass away till the law, or from the law, till all is fulfilled. But people want to hang on that phrase till heaven and earth pass away. The verse, in the way it's constructed, no, the jot and the tittle, it's not going to pass away till it's fulfilled. It's been fulfilled. Fulfilled. So it's no longer in force. The jot and the tittle, as you probably know, by the way, was those minute markings and characters forming parts of the letter of the Greek alphabet. We would, if our language today, we would probably say dot the I and cross the T. You know, some particular mark in the alphabet. So Jesus says, even the tiniest part of the law, the Psalms, the prophets, they'll not pass away. Till. So they will pass away. Till all things are fulfilled. So Jesus says, the law and the prophet, they would remain in force until it accomplished what God intended it to accomplish. Here's the other one. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. Paul asked the question, these people in Galatia who had a problem with the old law. He says, So what purpose then does the law serve? Good question. What purpose did the law serve? It was added because of transgressions. Till. Oh, there's that word till again. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, Truly, righteousness would have been given by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, and I highlighted those couple phrases in your notes. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. That word till again we saw in the other verses. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. So the law has been fulfilled, taken out of the way, because it was only designed to last till the seed should come. And it came. So the Jews, in Jesus' opening remarks here in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus wanted them to see him in that old law. And he wants us to see him too. And that he wants us to see that the end of the law. So that first phrase, Jesus came. I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. Second, I think I'll just do two tonight. You know, I never know how long these are going to last when I do a series like this. Same thing with our lesson on Sunday morning, when I'm going to title it, Now That I'm a Christian. Didn't get very far in all the things that will help us to be successful in Christian living, so that'll continue next Lord's Day morning, Lord willing. Some more things that will help us become to remain Christian. So number two in this, why did Jesus come? So in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Oh. For I have come to set a man against his father, daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake shall find it. So, put in your notes, you know, when the right, that which is right, goes forth into a world of wrong, there's not going to be peace. Not going to be peace. Jesus gives us an additional warning in John chapter 15. The world hates you. The world hates you. You know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. An added note in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus said to his disciples, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." Wow, not going to be easy. So in this text, that sword, he said, "I came not to send peace, but a sword." That's the word of God, and it will cut and separate light from darkness, left from right, save from lost, enter in from depart, good from evil, and sometimes father from mother. He said a man's enemies or foes will be those of his own household. Well, I mentioned last week, you know, being a Christian is determined by us as individuals, not by households. We're saved as individuals. Now, many times a household may be saved. We have examples of that in the Bible. But that may not always be the situation. There may be a Christian and a non-Christian in the same household. One has responded to the gospel and the other has not. So we pray that the Christian is not held back by the non-Christian. However, we may know of situations where that's not the case. The non-Christian in the household causes a hindrance and is not supportive to the Christian. Jesus said, Luke describes it this way in Luke 24, verse 25. Now great multitudes went with him. And he turned and said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sister, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. He cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Well, we look at the way Luke records it, where he says, if anyone does, anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, rightfully so. So that's why Jesus, when Mark records it, he has Jesus saying, he who loves father or mother more than me. So Jesus came to send the sword. So one may respond to the gospel and the other not. It causes friction in the household. For that definition of hate, you know, Matthew 10, 37 answers it for us. We need to just love God more. But in the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 29, verse 30, says Jacob loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. The next verse, verse 31, says when God saw that Leah was hated. Wait a minute, that's not what the previous verse said. It said Jacob loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. God saw that Leah was hated. The relationship we have with God should be so obvious that any other relationship we have appears as hatred. I didn't come to send peace. I came to send a sword. We sing a song, must Jesus bear the cross alone? The hymn writer answers it with no. There's a cross for everyone. Or must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? And the answer is no. There's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. Sometimes it may happen in your life or mine. I don't think so. But there may be a sword. Choices may have to be made. Jesus, why'd you come? Send a sword? Yeah. Possible. Eight more of these. But I hope I've given you enough information in your notes to help answer the verses so they're not necessarily troubling. But I've known people that had to make a choice between family and Christianity, right? It's not easy unless they have support. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. If you're not a member of the New Testament Church and you've been baptized for remission of sins, you have that opportunity this evening. So we sing that song of encouragement, song of invitation. You may come. Or you may ask brethren for prayers, for encouragement, or help in some need. We can accomplish that also. So let's stand together and we'll sing the song then as selected for us. If that's your resolve, if that's your...